On the line now, I have Teresa Carter, and we're going to talk about the People's Charter on Renewable Energy. Good afternoon, Teresa. How are you?
Hi, Mo.
Well, I have to say, when I read the first bit of this, I said to myself, a bit of an understatement to say the government are all over the place.
Just a little.
You're being very generous.
Being very kind to them because, well...
You're in a good mood that day.
I've had a hard time.
You're in a good mood that day. Okay. When you talk about a review, what would you like to see?
I'd like it levelled again, mm-hmm. and an awful lot of more public consultation for people to draw up their own charter of what they want for energy in the country. And when it says renewable energy, but realistically, our only way forward is renewable energy. So it's a whole energy policy for the country.
Where do you think they're getting it wrong? Can you give us a couple of examples? I mean, there's loads you can pick, but say three.
Well, the basis for this call would be the whole fact that what they actually have done is, I can't say illegal because it's not necessarily, but under the Our House Convention, there mm-hmm. was hardly any public participation. Now, they didn't necessarily have to do that, but in order for it to truly represent what the people of the country want, you need participation. So that, to me, would be the biggest mistake they made. Mm-hmm. Then I could go into different policies that have major problems in them.
I was just wondering, sorry for interrupting you there. I was just wondering, is it the way the power structure is worked out as well? I mean, the government can make different policies and it depends on how much they sort of, enforce them. But when you get the local councils and all like that and they have their own charters and things, do you think that can be a part of the problem?
All feeding in together. I actually think they work on the hop, mm-hmm. you know. So I think as something comes up or as someone approaches them with an idea, they work on it. Mm-hmm. You know, I actually don't think they give an awful lot of insight into forward planning. So I think that's where they've been caught out a lot on this. I mean, energy was never anything we really planned as such from the start. It just kind of evolved and we became ever more dependent upon it. So there's never actually been any sort of, well, what are we going to do into the future for our energy on a massive scale, you know?
Yeah, well, I was being glib in the beginning, but I mean, I was being honest because, I mean, you can say that about everything that they seem to do, whether it's to do with transport or whatever. In hindsight, they didn't seem to have any foresight at all in anything at all.
Yeah, I agree. Well, energy is such an important because we wouldn't have transport without energy. We wouldn't have anything else we have without the energy. So it's kind of underpinning everything else we actually do.
Yeah.
So we really need a complete overhaul.
Now, when you say fuel poverty needs to be addressed, what do you mean by fuel poverty?
Well, there's people choosing now whether they eat or they put on their heating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a difficult situation for any family to be living in to have put that choice on the table because their children are hungry or they're cold, one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of thing needs to be addressed, and that can be done different levels. You know, there's loads of different ideas people have. People have the ideas. That's the point. Everybody has an idea, and a lot of them are very valid, and they're not actually entertained at government level because they don't actually understand the pain.
Yeah. And you think, of course, it's countrywide, but when I was saying about local councils and stuff like that, when they put out a remit to them all, I think a lot of them individually take their own meaning out of it. That's what I meant. And because I find that each different council has their own way of doing things, whether it's the waste that we put out there, and of course with everything that we have happening now with the different companies that collect it, but even the bring centres, everyone has their own formula for what they do. That's what I meant, that it's not coordinated in any way.
No.
I mean,
no.
And that's on the small things, you know what I mean? So imagine when you enlarge that through the whole country.
Very loose, and that is across the board on everything, of course. Yeah, you're right.
Okay. I was just wondering, I was talking to someone about this a couple of weeks ago as well, and about the Green Party when it was in there. How much good do you think they did, and if they had to stay there, would it improve things a bit?
As far as I can make out, a lot of the policies that were kind of brought in around that time, and they were kind of EU implementable, that was a lot of that was done under the EU under the Green guidance. Now, I don't know, was it naivety or just idealism? You know, this is where we need to go, let's get to it. That there wasn't enough consultation done. Mm-hmm. But I think nobody has the right to think that they know the right everything for their country. That's why consultation is so important. So I don't know how it would have progressed as time went on. I mean, they're not in power, but I think they'd be more open to what we're calling for here. Mm-hmm. You know, they are more open to a people's charter. They just didn't think of it. And a lot of course, is fed by the civil servants. It's not necessarily the politicians at all. So how much the ministers and that actually know, I would question. And how much of it is a brief just before they go into a meeting.
And of course, with being in the EU, you'd imagine that it should be a whole, complete European. It is a Europe. It's a world problem. But I mean, as they have this great power, which is they say EU, that if someone in that could from here propose something, that they would be listened to, that would be taken up across Europe as well. I mean, we've done it with the smoking. I mean, that's an example, but for personal health. But as regards other things and bigger things to do with the environment, I mean, I think it's the things that's been happening over the past couple of years. I know it's 50-50 debates and depends on who the scientist is and these experts are and what this climate change is happening. Some are saying it's just periodical and some are saying, no, this is because of the way we live. But at the same time, you'd imagine some notice would be taken of and say, well, listen, we've got to do something here.
Yeah, well, I just have to say something about that. It's not a 50-50 debate anymore. It's a 97%, 3% debate when you get climate scientists into the room. Mm-hmm. Of course, you'll get dental scientists or geological scientists who might want to argue with you, but the climate scientists themselves are 97% agreeing that we have climate change. There's absolutely no denying it at this stage, and if you're denying it, you're denying it. You're not sceptical anymore, you're denying it. So there's a massive issue we have to address. Now, I have found out more about how the EU works. And realistically, there are a lot of people in the EU trying to do something about this, but there's an awful lot of politics and lobbying coming into play. So you have the massive players in the energy industry who don't want to let go of what's happening now. They don't want to cut back. And they are lobbying like mad. They have the money to do the lobbying. So they're up in the EU saying, no, we can't get, you know, we're not going to give this. And that's what's happened. The politics comes into play. It's no longer the scientists that are listened to. It's the politics. And while drives are on, there's arguments then within the EU to get them stifled.
Yeah, I'm sure it must be very frustrating for you because, I mean, you'll hear people say it all the time. I mean, when the bill comes in for all the flood damage and all the damage done through the storms, it runs into the millions, where if some precaution had been taken and what you're suggesting had been done years ago, which was, I mean, the dogs in the street were talking about it. And as I said, foresight is a something that we don't seem to, well, we seem to lack. I was going to say we don't lack, but we do lack it, I'm afraid, as far as the government goes.
We lack hindsight. Looking at it now, the climate has changed. We have all this disruption and all these floods, and still we're doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So hindsight isn't doing us much good either.
Okay. And as I said, prevention is better than cure all the time.
Yeah.
When you make representations in any sense or form, what sort of things, and do you get that are just paying, you know, lip service to an extent, just listening to you but not paying any attention?
Well, we've called for this review of the energy policies, and the day after I said it to John Whelan, he put out a call for it as well. So that's good to have a senator listening to what you have to say. But because he's so involved in what's going on anyway, he knows pretty much that the energy companies are pulling all the strings in this country. So then you had other people coming out in support. So there's quite a good few groups and politicians now looking for a total energy review, and it to be very participatory. So to facilitate public participation in it is one of the biggest things. Claiming Our Future supported us in our original event, and they will be supporting us. So it's all about people claiming their future and getting together and offering a vision up for where they want Ireland to be in 20, 50 years' time, and taking into consideration fuel poverty, taking into consideration climate change, taking into consideration that we need a renewable energy source to fuel our economy. And there's a lot of people now coming on board to say that we need to do this.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a website so people can look up? Because, I mean, you need all the support you can get on this.
Yeah, we have People Starter on Renewable Energy is on Facebook. It's also on Twitter, PCREIRL, I think it is, and it's PCRE. Then we have a WordPress blog site, so that's Energy Charter, I think it's called, but not an awful lot on that yet, as because we're kind of getting into a reconvening now and seeing where we're going to go forward. Because as we got together last November, there was a consultation on for energy export, so we kind of got assumed into that straight mm-hmm. after the event, and then Christmas came along. So now we're kind of at a regrouping phase where we want to bring in more people who see the need for us to have some sort of national vision and see the need for us to do some sort of consultation. And I mean, like we did for the Constitution, on as big a scale, if not bigger than that,
mm-hmm.
so that you get it in every town where people can contribute to what they want. So that's where we're heading now, and we want people on board that want to share that vision and work towards it.
Okay, can I ask you, I don't know what's a silly question or not, but is there a country in Europe that you can look at and say, I mean, we all have to do it, it's a world problem, but at the same time, is there a country in Europe you can say, well, they're making a great effort, that's a role model that we should be able to follow, and if every country did it, is there any country you could point to?
I'm the worst person to ask this. There are loads, but okay. I can never remember which ones they are.
Okay. There are a few.
Germany and Austria, I think. Yeah, there are definitely a few that are well ahead of the game.
Okay. So we could follow their example. I was just wondering because, as I say, it's a world problem. And always for me, it's the young people have been doing it for the past 20 years. They seem to be getting it. And it's just, if they can get them, we haven't got time for it to be sort of teaching children now. I don't think the way things are going now, but maybe we have hundreds of years, I don't know. But if we can get the young people before so that they can grow up in a decent environment, they're the people to get to. Would you agree there?
Well, yeah, no, they learn a lot, actually. I have kids in college and kids in primary school, and I see the curriculum, and if the parents even looked at the books, they would see that the science is there in front of their children to look at.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of, they know what's going on, and they know that we're sitting back doing nothing about it. They will know, more importantly. And that's unfortunate that, mm-hmm. that they're seeing us being so apathetic about it and allowing the political will to drive the whole fossil agenda, mm-hmm. as opposed to fighting, standing up, like everything in this country, standing up and looking for change. We don't seem to group enough for that one.
Yeah, as you said yourself in the leaflet, that it's haphazard. I mean, as I said, the person thing with the smoking, but also with the coal and the fuel and the smoking, the coal-free smoke and all that sort of carry on. Earlier in the 90s, it seemed to be heading towards something positive, but that's one of the things they did. And then it just stops.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean, you know, by haphazard? Like
seem to reactionary. So something happens and they put in some sort of policy that works. Even the policy they have for this energy exporting, when you start looking into it, it's not really a policy for energy exporting at all. It's a policy for wind. They all of a sudden make it wind. So they're not even looking at a bigger picture on export.
Mm-hmm.
They're not looking at the wave options and that sort of thing. So it's a wind energy export policy. And then they have a reference to a project that they're doing a cost-benefit analysis on. So they really are trying to write this policy to go with this project that they already have cost-benefit analysis going on. So, you know, that's the way this country writes policy.
Mm-hmm.
It has an idea, or has somebody from a company comes in and proposes an idea, and then they say, oh yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Then they run off and write a policy that suits whatever it is they want to do. And there we go. And you've got loads of these policies going on and no joined up thinking.
It's a comedy script in itself, isn't it?
It's
really
awesome.
It's very frustrating. Listen, I'm going to give you the mic now and you make give us all the websites again and whatever you want to say to our listeners now.
Okay, well, the People's Charter on Renewable Energy, we're regrouping and we want to have vision for the country going forward. So we're on Facebook. It's Facebook/PCRE, I think, and it's People's Charter on Renewable Energy. And Twitter is PCREIRL. And we have Energy Charter on WordPress as well. And if we also have the LEAF website, so the LEAF Environmental Action Forum, we would have a good bit on it, and the LEAF on Facebook. So there's contact there.
Okay, I have to say, I have to congratulate you and I admire you on your courage and taking all this on, because it really must be very frustrating, but it's great. And anytime you need to come on and have a chat, whatever sort of review or ideas that you may have, I definitely put them out there for you, Teresa. Thank you very much for talking to
us. Thanks very much, Mel.
Thank you.